Model Test 12.
Section A. Mini Lecture.
In this section, you will hear a mini lecture. You will hear the mini lecture once only. While listening to the mini lecture, please complete the gap-filling task with no more than 3 words for each gap. Make sure the word or words you fill in is or are both grammatically and semantically acceptable. You may use the blank sheet for note-taking. You have 30 seconds to preview the gap-filling task. Now, listen to the mini-lecture. When it is over, you will be given 3 minutes to check your work.
Good morning. Today we shall talk about an important and interesting literary style, short story, which is fictional work depicting one's character's inner conflict or conflict with others, usually having one thematic focus. Short stories generally produce a single, focused, emotional, and intellectual response in the reader. Novels, by contrast, usually depict conflicts among many characters developed through a variety of episodes, stimulating a complexity of responses in the reader. The short story form ranges from short shorts, which run in length from a sentence to 4 pages, to novellas that can easily be 100 pages long and exhibit characteristics of both the short story and the novel. Because some works straddle the definitional lines of these 3 forms of fiction, short story, novella, and novel, the terms should be regarded as approximate rather than absolute. First, we need to learn the elements of the short story. The basic elements of the short story include setting, including time and place, conflict, character, and theme. Most stories are set in present day, but settings of place vary from rural to urban. The reader follows the main character or protagonist in a conflict with another character or antagonist, or in an internal conflict with his own antagonistic psychological or spiritual force. Characters range from familiar stereotypes, such as the aggressive businessman or the lonely housewife, to archetypical characters such as the rebel, the scapegoat, the alter ego, and those engaged in some sort of search. The subject of a short story is often mistaken for its theme. Common subjects for modern short fiction include race, ethnic status, gender, class, and social issues such as poverty, drugs, violence, and divorce. These subjects allow the writer to comment upon the larger theme that is the heart of the fictional work. Some of the major themes of 20th century short stories, as well as longer forms of fiction, are human isolation, alienation, and personal trauma such as anxiety, love and hate, male-female relationships, family and the conflict of generations, mortality, spiritual struggles, and even the relationship between life and art. Secondly, we shall come to find out a way to appreciate the art of the short story. The art of the short story employs the techniques of point of view, style, plot and structure, and a wide range of devices that stimulate emotional, imaginative, and intellectual responses in the reader. The writer's choice and control of these techniques determines the reader's overall experience. Let's analyze these techniques one by one. What's point of view? The 3 basic point of view techniques are omniscient, or the author's point of view, first person, the author lets one of his characters narrate, and central intelligence, the author filters the narrative through the perceptions of a single character. A seldom used point of view technique is the objective. The author poses as a purely objective observer, never giving the reader access to a character's thought. Then, what does style mean? Style is the author's careful choice of words and arrangement of words, sentences, and paragraphs to produce a specific effect on the reader. An author's style evolves out of the chosen point of view technique. The omniscient point of view produces a relatively complex style. The first-person point of view results in a simple style if it is recorded as spoken, more complex if written, and central intelligence generates a style that typically is slightly elevated above the intelligence level of the focal character. The simple, economical style of American Ernest Hemingway and his selection of images reveal subtle shifts in his character's psychological states. Hemingway's style was particularly effective first-person narration. In the following session, we shall talk about plot and structure. There's a wide range of plot forms and structures found in the short story. A traditional plot has a beginning, introduction of the problem, middle, development of the problem, and an end, resolution of the problem. Some writers venture into less predictable plots, which might even seem to be plotless. Some authors complicate the structure of their plots with the use of flashbacks and flash-forwards. With the frame of a story within a story, or with subplots or double plots, which means two or more equally important narratives progressing simultaneously. Besides, another unique technique called deliberate ambiguity or open-endedness is a plot feature found in many modern stories. The surprise endings of French author Guy de Maupassant, as in his 1884 story The Necklace, influenced many commercial writers, but also some literary ones. At the turn of the century, American author O. Henry became famous for his paradoxical style and surprise endings, such as in A Gift of the Magi. To conclude the art of the short story, we must pay due attention to rhetorical devices. Writers employ a wide range of rhetorical devices for contrast and emphasis, including paradox, metaphor, patterns of imagery, repeated motifs, symbolism, and irony. The power of Katherine Ann Porter's Flowering Judas derives in part from her overt use of symbolism. Irony provides the reader with a contrast between reality and the fallibility of human perception, which is at the heart of most modern fiction. American writer Flannery O'Connor is a master of irony, as in the story A Good Man is Hard to Find, in which a manipulative grandmother imposes her will on a situation, with the ironic result that she and her family are killed by escaped convicts. To sum up, in today's lecture, we mainly focus on one literary style, the short story, and further elaborate on its basic elements in writing art. The basic elements of the short story include setting, conflict, character, and theme. The art of the short story employs the techniques of point of view, style, plot, and structure, and a wide range of devices. So the writer's choice and control of these techniques determines the quality of his or her short story.
Now, you have 3 minutes to check your work. This is the end of Section A mini-lecture.
Section B, interview.
In this section, you will hear one interview. The interview will be divided into two parts. At the end of each part, 5 questions will be asked about what was said. Both the interview and the questions will be spoken once only. After each question, there will be a 10-second pause. During the pause, you should read the 4 choices of A, B, C, and D, and mark the best answer to each question. You have 30 seconds to preview the questions. Now, listen to part 1 of the interview.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Sue. It's Friday again. Anything particular you want to do at the weekend?
I have to finish the assignment of my economics course. I'm supposed to discuss rational choice models in 3,000 words and give a presentation next Monday.
3,000 words is not a big deal. I've already finished mine.
You're fast. How could you finish reading and writing in only 1 week? I spent the whole week reading. It's all so interesting, and I want to read more, and there just isn't the time for writing. The problem is not I cannot write 3,000 words, but I can't cover the topic in this limit. I could write a book on it, in fact. Several people have. How am I supposed to cover it in 3,000 words?
Well, Sue, remember it's just an undergraduate essay. You're only supposed to demonstrate that you understand the concept, not apply it or anything.
I see what you mean. I should just describe some models and make some comments.
That's it.
In that case, I will try to finish it tomorrow. What about you? How do you plan to spend the weekend?
Nothing particular in mind. Maybe tonight I'll go to a pub with some friends for happy hour. You know, drinks at half price at weekends. And I don't have to get up very early tomorrow. Saturday morning, that's the time for washing my car, doing the laundry, and then going out for brunch.
That's breakfast and lunch combined, right?
Yes. You can spend 2 hours or more over brunch. It's a huge meal. You can have all the breakfast things, as well as all sorts of lunch things, such as salads, chicken, pies and fruit. It's not expensive. You just pay £7 per person. For that, you can eat as much as you like. It's a good time for all the family.
Oh, that sounds good. Then how about Sunday?
On Sunday, I have a lot of newspapers to read. I will sit in the garden with a continental breakfast and read the Sunday newspapers as usual.
Will you do any sports in the afternoon?
Not really in such hot weather. Maybe I will go to a club and play chess with some friends. I love the game very much.
This is the end of part 1 of the interview. Questions 1 to 5 are based on what you have just heard.
Question 1. What is the possible relationship between the two speakers?
Question 2. When should Sue give a presentation?
Question 3. What is Sue's main problem of her assignment?
Question 4. How much will one person pay for brunch according to Jason?
Question 5. What does Jason usually do on Sunday morning?
Now, listen to part 2 of the interview.
I enjoy playing chess. Some of my friends are good players.
I've never played chess, but I'd like to learn it someday. Is it difficult to learn?
No, not at all. I can teach you right now if you like.
Of course. Go ahead.
Well, it's a board game played by two persons.
How many pieces does each person have?
16 pieces. Each player has two rooks, two bishops, two knights, one king, one queen, and eight pawns. One person uses the light-coloured pieces and the other plays the dark-coloured pieces. The colours are always called white and black, even if they are cream and red. At the beginning of the game, the pieces are set up on the chessboard. Here is a piece of paper. I can draw it for you. Like this.
Oh, I see.
There are 64 squares on the board. The rows of squares across the board are called ranks.
You mean the horizontal rows?
Yes. The rows of squares up and down, I mean the vertical rows, are called files. Lines of squares running diagonally are called diagonals.
How do we move the pieces?
There are some rules. Each of the pieces has to move in a certain way. The players take it in turns to move their pieces and can move only one piece in each turn. Once you have touched a piece, you must move it. After you have moved it and taken your hand away, you must leave the piece where it is.
So you're not allowed to change your mind?
Each player has two knights, a king's and a queen's knight. They are shaped like a horse head. The knight is the only piece which can jump over pieces. It can jump over pieces of its own colour or over enemy's pieces. The knight can move in any direction, forwards, backwards, or to either side, but it always has to move three squares at a time. When the knight moves, it must go two squares in one direction and then one square to the side.
I have to remember this. What is the aim of the game?
Well, it's to trap your opponent's king so that it can't escape being captured. That is, there are no squares for it to escape to, no pieces to protect it, and no pieces to capture the checking piece. When this happens, it's called checkmate, and the player with the checking piece, or pieces, wins.
I'm a bit confused. I'm afraid I'll need a lot of practice.
Hey, why don't you join me Sunday afternoon so that I can teach you on the spot?
That's a good idea. Thank you very much. I will have to finish my essay before that, though.
Call me if you can.
I will.
This is the end of part two of the interview. Questions 6 to 10 are based on what you have just heard. Question 6. How many pieces does one person have in chess?
Question 7. How many squares are there on the board?
Question 8. Which piece can jump over pieces?
Question 9. In a chess game, which direction can the knight move?
Question 10. Which of the following statement is not true about chess?